little house cleaning?
What's that?
Are you doing a little house cleaning? September 12th.
Your guns.
No, excuse me. You said gone.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks of August. Yes. But I intend to be here and for the remainder of the year. So.
Okay. So I'll plan my vacation for the remainder of the year.
Yes.
Something to look forward to.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Portland City Council. Welcome. We have a couple of introductions. We have two groups here today. One is a group of students attending Portland State University, and they have an executive leadership institute for Japanese municipal officers mid-career training program. Could you folks please stand so you could recognize for the very good. Very good. Thank you. And Portland State University is very busy right now. We also have a higher education administrators from universities, colleges, and government education bureaus in Changchun, the city of Changchun in Jilin province in China. They've been in Portland since July 22nd and will be here until August the 3rd. They're participating in the 8th intensive seminar for university administrators. And following the program at PSU, they will visit Columbia University, Stanford, and UC Berkeley. So I'm glad at least they went to the best one first. Again, could you folks from Changchun? There you go. Thank you. And please forgive me for mispronouncing your city and province. Thank you for being here. Prior to the beginning of the meeting, as I do every week, I ask the question, how are the children? And the reason I ask that question is because when our children are well, our community is well. And we have folks come in and talk to us about the status of children and young people in our community and what are the issues. Today we have two very special guests from the Children's Club program. And it's Rishi Bukshin. Rishi, could you come forward? And Cha-Cha Mills. They're both 5 years old. And Rishi attends Sunnyside Elementary, and Cha-Cha attends Atkinson Elementary. And the Children's Club is a small nonprofit organization. It's been operating since 1969. They specialize in child care, early childhood intervention, parenting classes, and scholarship. And they serve youth ages 2.5 to 12 years old. So these are a couple of old-timers, I guess, that we have with us this morning. So Rishi, why don't you go ahead and start and tell us what you would like us to know and speak into that microphone that's out there.
A children's club is a great school.
Good for you. That was tough, wasn't
why?
It?
Why?
Good
job.
And what else?
My teachers are nice.
They're nice. Well, that's important, mm-hmm. isn't it? Okay, Cha-Cha, what would you like us to know?
Well, they are very good, intelligent teachers. And
good, intelligent teachers? That's always good. Anything else? Do you want to tell us about the Children's Club?
Well, it's brand new remodeled, and some kids are really wild, and sometimes they kind of ruin it.
We want to help them. We want to thank them for their help today.
Okay. We have the same problem here sometimes.
We want to thank you for your help and support.
Thank you.
Especially Eric Stein's office.
Eric Stein. Good.
Stein.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I stand corrected. Yeah. You're going to have to spell.
So we just want to say thanks.
Is that it now, guys?
Goodbye.
Thank
you, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Well, they can say they had their first city council experience at age 5.
Yeah.
Not too many people actually have that. Thank you for being here, kids. City council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I would like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to city council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 925, request of Greg Shifsky to address council regarding tree preservation needed to preserve the heritage and watershed environments.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, when
you
Mayor
speak,
Potter.
Would you please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Greg Shifsky, Southwest Portland, Mayor Potter and councilors all. I've been here before about tree issues, and recently I did take a trip 22 states across the country. The photographs that I took are of farmsteads, and I'm sorry that the public can't see these, but they are essentially farmlands in North Dakota. They're not unlike any other place that I think I visited in all of these states. And there's a tremendous amount of plains and farmsteads. What these farmers have done to surround their homesteads is pack them with trees and understory shrubs. The weather back there is so severe that they really value tree protections. My request to city is to continue fostering and encourage our city bureaus to cooperate with each other. There's still, I think, a lack of communication between the four main bureaus that do have something to say about trees and our tree protections. Education, of course, is still critical to the citizenry. Citizens still think that they can just cut trees down, and that's the last thing that we want to see. So somehow, maybe you guys have to figure out how to do that. I really am not sure how that can be done. Again, these homesteads were out in the middle of nowhere, and as you can see, there's buildings just clustered right in them. Trees offer so much value to them, and I'd like you to also consider the value that they're going to add to this city many years down the road, especially the huge trees. And as you can see, these guys will provide protection in storm events like tornadoes, windstorms, and rainstorms. And I have seen rain there like I've never seen here. So it's critical that we continue to provide our watersheds with as much tree canopy as possible. I think that's probably all I have. You have my testimony there. There's a few more details in there. And hang on to the pictures if you wish. They are essentially what I have seen all over the plain states, especially right down on through Kansas. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is that the only communication?
That is.
Okay. We're going to move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any item from the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to pull item 930 back to my office.
Okay. So then, any other? Any person in the audience wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Hearing none, please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Here. I mean, aye. Please read the 930 time certain.
Item 926, establish employee-driven committee entitled Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, DEEP, for city employees as a means to enhance city work experience through networking, resource, and professional development and support.
Could the committee please come forward, representatives? This resolution is sponsored by the entire council, and I just have to tell you, I've met with these folks on a number of times, and I'm just so impressed with the progress they're making in ensuring that the workforce in the city is diverse, that we provide opportunities and empowerment for our employees. So thank you for being here. We'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. My name is Debbie Castleton. I work for Environmental Services, and I am the chair of the Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, otherwise known as DEEP. The Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, which I will from now on call DEEP, was developed by city employees for city employees as a way to enhance the city work experience through networking, resource, and professional development and support. The way we will do this is with several programs as well as affinity group networks. The type of programs that we would actually help provide would be a mentoring program in the next couple of years, which we're fine-tuning right now and organizing among all the bureaus. We'll provide resources for all city bureaus and employees, and we'll help assist with diversity events. We'll also do a peer support program, which is a program that BES does right now, Environmental Services does currently, which is very successful, and it's a great program. We can do this individually and as affinity groups. We'll provide a resource for interview panels and help with recruitment and retention strategies. What DEEP is a voluntary program. It is for city employees and open to all city employees. The affinity groups will be organized with a shared interest or dimension, and that can be organized around the protected classes set forth in the non-discrimination laws, such as race, disability, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. We'll also encourage approving affinity groups around other historical barriers, and that can be a variety of different types of groups. All of the affinity groups will not only meet separately, but they'll come back together with the executive committee and share information and organize as a larger group as well. And we'll meet quarterly on that. The rules to become an affinity group are organized around the City of Policy Workplace Conduct Rules, specifically Human Resources Administrative Rule 2.02. Which sets the expectation that employees are to interact with one another in a respectful manner and prohibits conduct that is based on employees' race, religion, gender, marital status, family status, national origin, age, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, source of income, or veteran status. So everything will comply with these rules. No one should discriminate against another group. And like I said, it's inclusive to all city employees. What DEEP is not is intended to create a public forum or platform and will not establish or promote any political or social agenda. And I'm going to turn this over to Mikkel.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Mikkel Shabazz. I'm the co-chair of DEEP, and I work for the Bureau of Development Services. I'm the chair of the diversity committee in that bureau, as well as the EEO rep. I'm very proud to be here representing this effort, DEEP. My comments today will be on the statement of need, why DEEP is needed. And I'd like to preface my statements by saying that DEEP is not designed to replace, but to enhance existing efforts that have been underway by the City of Portland. It's a diversity development plan, it's affirmative action plan. DEEP is designed to be implemented from the ground up. We recognize that the diversity development plan that's currently in existence in the city of Portland is management driven. It is management's responsibility to implement, and all of our responsibilities to comply and to participate. DEEP, however, allows a platform by which the common everyday worker, all of us, can have a voice. We spend more time at work sometimes than we do with our families. And when we have a hand in building and constructing the culture, we're more likely to appreciate and participate in it willingly. And that's what DEEP is designed to do. Through the affinity groups, DEEP allows the recognition and display of unique cultural, and I would say historical perspective on issues, problems, and solutions that the city may face. Also, DEEP will offer peer support groups within the affinity groups. And the peer support groups are designed also to eliminate that one big thing that none of us want to see in the city of Portland, that's lawsuits. And many of the problems that we face that create lawsuits and disagreements and misunderstandings can be stopped if we are listening to each other, talking to each other, and having a vehicle by which we can express ourselves and to our managers or to each other. So DEEP will play a very important role in that regard. We know that we are facing an ever-changing community. We know that the demographics are changing. The culture of the city of Portland is changing. And we want to reflect not only in our neighborhoods, but in the services that we provide. We want to see people feeling comfortable in the city of Portland, reflecting back to our customers that they are welcome and that they are a part of the city of Portland. And DEEP proposes to do that. We are, again, not in opposition to, but in support of existing efforts that are underway. We want to enhance and embellish what we are already doing, the very successful programs that we have. But this, again, is from the grassroots, an opportunity for the individual worker to express him or herself in the workforce and to be proud of the culture that they are helping to create in the city of Portland. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Mayor Potter and City Commissioners. I'm Greg Woley, W-O-L-L-E-Y. I work in the Bureau of Purchases, and I'm a member of the Executive Committee of DEEP, and I serve as its treasurer. You've heard what DEEP is and why our employees need DEEP. I'd like to provide a very brief detail about the benefits to employees and the benefits to our city. The peer support. Participants will have the opportunity to undergo peer support training and be the recipients of peer support. And peer supporters are trained to be empathetic listeners and supporters and to be resource people. They're not professional counselors. They're not telling employees what to do. Their true value is their ability to have a cultural context. And when I use the word culture broadly, it could be related to race, it could be related to country of origin, language, sexual orientation, ability. But that context can help to provide a comfort level for employees. Mentoring. Most of us can say that we've had somebody special in our lives at some point during our careers that have had an influence on us. Career growth and advancement is predicated as much by relationship and relationship building and understanding how an organization works as it is by the actual skills that we develop. So over a two-year period of time, DEEP will facilitate the development of a citywide mentoring program that will help our employees to link with senior employees that can show them the ropes and advance their careers. Resources. The city has a myriad of resources that's available to its employees, but a lot of that information is not centralized. DEEP will aggregate these resources and contact information about these resources and put them in an accessible format and make it available to all employees. So things like housing or cultural centers, resources for settling into a new city, those kinds of things will be readily accessible for our employees. Assistance with diversity events. Our city diversity committees do a great job of putting on our annual cultural events, but there's only so much they can do. Your offices and our bureaus get way more requests to participate in events around the city than we can possibly fill. DEEP to the rescue. DEEP, in coordination with your offices and with the bureaus and our supervisors, will provide diverse employees to support and assist in representing our city. Interview panel resources. Our city's has made great strides in increasing the diversity of job interview panels and in review panels for bids and proposals. and we can do better. DEEP will assist hiring managers and team leaders in their efforts. Finally, recruitment and retention strategies. Mayor Potter, when we met with you the first time about a year ago, you specifically requested that we develop for you a top 10 list of recruitment and retention recommendations. We've delivered that for you, and we know you'll be discussing those with your commissioners and bureau directors. We've already mentioned several of them, and so I want to emphasize that we would like to support and enhance the excellent job that our Human Resources Bureau is already doing by providing some additional help with things like sending employees to local and national career fairs and sending employees that reflect the diversity of the employees that the city is seeking to attract. Also, we'd like to assure that the structure, help to assure the structure of employee performance reviews provide meaningful career development opportunities for employees. And then finally, we'd like to help assure that the employees' exit interviews provide meaningful closure for the employees' careers with the city. I'd like to turn my part over to Danilo Del Rosario. I'll talk a little bit about the tremendous support we've received over the past year and a half for DEEP.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Danilo Del Rosario. I'm with the Office of Management and Finance, Bureau of Technology Services. First of all, I would like to thank you for this opportunity. As we put this DEEP together and develop some documents and procedures and some other processes, we have consulted and talk to the Bureau of Directors and Bureau Chiefs, as well as the city attorney. And this really invigorated us for the support and the reaction and the interest that they have shared with us. And the human resources, for one, and also the diversity, development, affirmative action, in fact, they have set in to about two of our meetings and have shared some of their opinion and suggestions. And I think that was a very good sign that we are proceeding to the right direction. And the members of DEEP, it's just like a good cross-section of all the different employees of the city. We have representatives from the mayor's office, from Commissioner Stan, and other bureaus. And I think it's a good blend of all those representatives. And the bureau chiefs and bureau directors, we have shared the information that the rest of my colleagues have presented to you, and they understand the needs of the city. And finally, another thing that supported us, that kept us going, is the input and the feedback of our very own co-city employees, that they are looking forward for the development and creation of DEEP. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we came up with all of our guidelines and how an affinity group network would actually take place, I searched all over on the internet and made a few calls on what other comparable models do we have. The most common affinity networks are with larger corporations. There's not a lot in government, but groups such as corporations such as General Motors, Ford Motors, Microsoft, Nike, Kaiser Permanente, Kodak, General Mills, they all have affinity networks. As far as government, the largest one that I found was actually with the CIA. They have a huge affinity network program. I was actually kind of surprised by that, but I thought that was great. The city of Denver has one. Multnomah County has a couple of groups for their affinity networks. The city of Tempe, Arizona, the state of Oregon, and another city that I contacted was the city of Eugene, and they're in the process of the very beginning stages of starting their affinity network group and organizing that, and asked if they could follow our lead and use our guidelines that we've come up with. So instead of reinventing the wheel, they'll follow our lead. The most common types of affinity groups, this is asked a lot, is usually the African-American groups, Hispanic or Latino, women organizations, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, the Asian Pacific Americans, people with disabilities, veterans, American Indian, and age-related groups such as young professionals or aging employees. The other, there's already a couple of groups that are starting to form, getting ready for this kickoff. I'll be starting the lesbian, gay, bi, trans group, and Danilo will be starting a group. And I think it's very exciting. There's all kinds of opportunities for like-minded groups to get together. But like I said, we'll be meeting separately as well as together to learn from each other and see if there's any patterns within the different groups, and also making sure that they're all on the same page and no one's left behind. Thank you very much. There is some people here that I'd like to introduce, and that's our executive committee of DEEP. They're sitting in the audience. Most of them are here, if I could get them to stand. Or not stand. And we've been meeting for the last few years. I've been with them for the last year, and we really kicked into high gear over the last year. We're very excited and very motivated. The group has been very dedicated. We do meet on our own time, and when we don't, we make that time up. So it's been completely voluntary and not interfering with our work, and we're very dedicated to that. So there's also some other groups of people, like I think Joseph Quinones is here. Thank you. And he's with Human Resources, the Diversity and Development and Affirmative Action Office, and he's extremely supportive. And we also have our city attorney that helped us, Stephanie Harper. She's sitting here. And so if you have any questions, we're open to that. We'll also have our stuff on the website, the diversity website, so portlandonline.com/diversity, and we'll have a category on there that you can access as open to all city community to see what the city provides, but there will also be information on the intranet for the employee site. So, for instance, a blog, stuff like that. But we're in the process. When we get this passed, we'll kick that off.
So right now, a city employee that wants to get involved or want some help, they should contact who? Where?
They would contact probably me right now, Debbie Castleton.
Yeah.
And then we'll put them in contact with the website when it's up and give them the guidelines and meet with them.
Any negative reaction as you were setting this up?
Actually, no. We haven't had any. It's been very positive, especially the bureau directors and the chief of police and the chief of fire were very excited, especially. I think this fits in nicely with all of the city resources that we have already, and it's just, I think it's affirming that city employees are extremely proud to work here and want to keep that going, and that's where this is driven from.
There was one negative reaction that I received. It was taken in heart, to heart, and that the question was asked, "What took you so long?" It was the only negative reaction they received so far.
Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
We did. No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify on this matter? Thank you. This is a resolution. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, I just want to thank all of you for your good work on this. When we recently had the PDOT help sponsor a week of recognition for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community, and we got some replies as a result of the outreach on that effort that were, how would I say, cause for concern that we had more work to do in terms of educating ourselves as a city government family, but the vast, vast 99.9% of everyone was very supportive. But I think this is great. I think this provides the forum and the go-to place and the visibility necessary to deepen our collective understanding of what it really means to be an affirming place for diversity. And I have more work to do that on that for myself, and I think our institution has more work to do as well. So very sincerely thank all of you for your great work. Aye.
Leonard?
It is disappointing to me at times to see some of the stuff come across my desk in the form of disciplines or those kinds of issues that relate to how some of our employees make comments, observations, or even think they're telling jokes, not understanding the pain and the hurt they cause to the people who are the object of those kinds of jokes. Mikhail, I'm proud to say, has been implementing a lot of these same principles in the Bureau of Development Services since his promotion here some time back. And as part of that is, I think I could best characterize, taking a two-prong approach, provide education where that is needed and provide a corrective action where that doesn't work. And I am very committed in my bureaus, as I know each of my colleagues are, to use those same kind of approaches. I have little tolerance for those who target others who are either helpless or in the minority because they happen to be in the majority. It strikes a visceral, deep chord in me. And so this is an approach that I think helps get to that. And I would say the same thing that Mikhail heard is, I wished it wouldn't have taken us so long to think about putting this together, because this I see this as a very effective tool if it's used right, to use that same two-pronged approach, provide where education where people need that. And if that doesn't work, we'll use the other tools that are at our disposal to deal with the issues relating to diversity. So I appreciate this very much. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I really appreciate all of you getting together and coming forward with this idea. I think, as somebody said, it's not a top-down approach. We've tried those approaches and have mixed success in those. But I think particularly the assistance on recruitment panels and on our interview panels for proposals, as well as for employees, and helping with recruitment and retention strategies are areas that we need a lot of help in. So I think this is really great that you've shown the initiative and stepped forward and taken these steps, and look forward to working with all of you. Aye.
Stan.
Well, I agree, and I want to thank you. It's a lot of work. I see it. And it is very much needed. We do have a top-down commitment, but when you have an all-white city council, that's a certain kind of message. And I think getting our employees working much more closely. I think the affinity group strategy, I'm not an expert on it, but seems very sophisticated. And I think you've actually really done your research before you move forward, and I appreciate that too, because there are issues that it's easy to come out and say, okay, we're going to move on this, but if you're not structured in an organization even as complex as ours, it won't work. And so I think this is really terrific, and I'm impressed with the thinking behind it. We all have lots of biases and things that we have to work on. I have one against the CIA, so I'm working on that from hearing they have a good program. So that made me think differently this morning on one small issue. So I think it's great. You certainly have my support. People in my office, the bureaus I work with, are really eager to try and see if we can make this a success and make it nimble, because I think it's one of those things that I heard the point loud and clear. You want to be able to respond and do it in a way that works. So good work. I guess it's just the first step of many after making it official, but I'm certainly glad to do that. Aye.
Potter.
Well, what really struck me when I first started talking to these folks over a year ago is how committed they are as employees of the City of Portland and wanting to make the organization a better place for everybody. And over the last year, that commitment has grown into very specific areas and actions that DEEP wants to implement within our city. And I see it as the role of the City Council to support the efforts of you folks, to take your guidance and suggestions and use those to develop programs and activities and with the appropriate funding to make sure that our workforce not only represents our community, but is growing and has the opportunity to excel and achieve their own personal goals in our organization. So I truly thank you, and you have the commitment of this council and each of us individually and personally, that we want you to succeed, because when you succeed, our city and our community succeeds. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And I'm just amazed that the CIA would even acknowledge they have one. So that's, I guess, a big step for them, isn't it? But congratulations, folks. And I vote aye. Thank you. Please read the 10 p.m. time certain.
Item 927, Open Meadow Schools CityCorps Project, Marketing Minority Home Ownership to Youth.
Commissioner Stein.
Hi.
Touche. Thank you, Mayor Porter.
Well, Mayor and Commissioners in the audience, I think we have a very exciting and I think fun presentation to give you this morning on a very serious topic. I think everyone's well aware the city's working hard on a strategy with a lot of business community leaders called Operation Home. And the reason we started Operation Home is we have a substantial and I would say almost crippling economic gap between how many of the majority community own homes versus the minority community. And in round numbers, about 60% of the white families in Portland own their homes, and it's close to 40 for if you want to make the average for minorities. And so it's a big, big difference. Most people these days, given how hard it is to pay for health care, all the things that are out there, about their only savings in many cases is their home equity. And so this really is a problem. It's not something that's going to be fixed quickly, although we have a lot of programs that the council has moved on, and I would say there are more opportunities. And if you're a family out there, please call the Portland Housing Center or any of the other groups that are there to try and see what's there now. But what we have to do, I think, to solve this problem is work from the ground up. And one of the issues is working with kids and young adults to try and make sure they understand that there are huge benefits to owning a home. It was not possible for all sorts of bad reasons in many years past. It's completely possible now if you're planning and working ahead and have a job. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to buy a home in Portland. So with that in mind, we've worked with Open Meadow School, who I think everyone on the council knows is one of our dynamic, I think, really best educational institutions in town. And they have a program called CityCorps. And CityCorps, which the city of Portland supports with funding, is a very hands-on kind of problem-solving approach to social studies. So they basically get presented a problem, and the students have to figure out a way to make progress on it and be active citizens and solve it. So we have presented this problem of the minority homeownership gap to the students at Open Meadows, and they are now working on a proactive strategy to try and do the education necessary to solve it. And so they're going to come today and present their findings, which I'm very pleased with. I think everyone knows Danielle Ledzima, who's heading up the Operation Home efforts for BHCD, and she's going to give you a little more information on the project. And there's also a second project that CityCorps is doing with Office of Sustainable Development, which I'm not as familiar with, so we'll have them introduce. Great, Danielle.
Good morning. I'm so excited to introduce the next group of speakers. Last spring, a group of professionals, homeownership professionals and community members and myself sat around and we really grappled with the issue of how do we get more folks educated about financial fitness and home ownership with the goal of closing the gap within 10 years. And we came up with the bright ideas. Not only do we have to work with folks who are ready to buy now and maybe a couple years out, but what can we do to help young people start getting this message of home ownership into their minds so they can start preparing at a young age to own their own home. And so several strategies were developed around cultivating this next generation of homeowners. And we're left with the question with, great, so this is the strategy. Now, what is the message, and how do we get that out there? And we were really great, hip group of young professionals, and we thought that, you know, we'd do this. But one of the things that we really lacked was a youth voice. And so this summer when Michelle Taylor called me and said she had a group of young students from diverse backgrounds who were interested in housing issues, and if we had any projects, I totally jumped on that. I was like, well, I know a little bit about hip-hop, and I know a little bit about youth culture, but I'm a little far removed. And so could they help us with this messaging around homeownership? Could they work on developing a message and answer the question, what's a great way and what's a way that will resonate with their peers and themselves about home ownership? And so after only five weeks, they've met with professionals from our community and other community members. They've come up with these recommendations and this message that I think that you'll enjoy. So thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Sarah Head, and I'm the CityCorps project leader.
I'm Courtney Palmer, and I'm excited to be a part of the CityCorps project and working with the Bureau of Housing and Community Development.
My name is Donna Osborne, and I really enjoyed working on this project.
My name is Rasheed Moses, and my family and neighborhood has been affected by gentrification.
My name is Michelle Blackshear, and my dad was redlined against trying to own his own business.
Hi, my name is Eduardo Ramos Suarez. I'm here with CityCorps, and we're going to present and talk about why homeownership is important.
Hi, my name is Jose Manuel. Ever since I was young, I've been moving around a lot. This project has encouraged me to become a homeowner so that my family doesn't go through the same situation I have.
Hi, my name is Jessica Crum. I've lived in my house since kindergarten, and I enjoy living in the city of Portland. We have been working on a project with Operation Home and the Bureau of Housing and Community Development to create a message to young people of color about homeownership and why it is important. Our problem statement is, how do we create a positive homeownership message and a message that market that message to young people of color?
In the end, we came up with three different proposals, which you will be hearing about today. Our first proposal is continue to support homeownership programs and education. Second, understand and address Portland's housing history. And third, our ad campaign, On Your Own.
This was a complicated project, but with the help of these community organizations and individuals, we were able to get the information we needed to get our message out to young people about why they should buy and own a home.
Every time we spoke to a community organization, they took us right to the point of why homeownership is important. They also pointed out that community education and community support creates more opportunities for homeownership. Our first proposal is to continue supporting homeownership programs and education. Specifically, we encourage you to continue supporting loan programs and down payment assistance. The Portland Development Commission and Community CDC currently runs homeownership fairs, mentorship programs, and personal finances classes. We encourage the city to increase funding to these programs and to create more like them. By being in CityCorps, I have already begun to find information I didn't know about before. Community organization and classes have given me information about loans and mentorship programs that will bring me one step closer to homeownership. Thanks.
Our second proposal is understanding and addressing history. History is important because if you don't know about your past, you won't be prepared for the future. The history of housing includes discrimination, racism, unfair lending, and redlining.
Because of all these issues, people need to learn about their history. We propose that Portland Public Schools should teach to teach history of housing with financial literacy. Another way to teach history is to have a community forum. I believe that if we have someone from the community come and talk to the people, then they will listen and start thinking about their history.
Now I will talk to you about our third proposal. Own Your Own is a campaign to inspire young people of color to become homeowners, which will help them in the future and ultimately help our communities. Own Your Own gives people a chance to fill in the blank. When you own your home, you own so much more than just a home. You own a chance to send your kids to college. You own an opportunity to invest and build equity. You own a piece of land in which you can do whatever you want with. It gives you freedom to do as you would like and not have to worry about anyone telling you that you can't. It builds strong communities, great memories, and friendships that can last a lifetime. Our Own Your Own campaign needs to be seen everywhere, especially where youth are more likely to be. This includes schools, TriMet, malls, youth programs, community centers, internet, etc. One way to do that is to use posters. We came up with four posters, each focused on one specific word.
History. Rashid and Michelle chose to make their poster about history. They felt that minorities were not informed enough about the history of housing in their communities. For them, not being informed about redlining and discrimination in the past could create the same treatment now. This is why they say they want to change today to make up for yesterday. Memories. There is so much in a memory. With Jessica, a lot of those memories come from home, and there are certain places where she can still, in her home, that she can still go back to and remember what happened there. Having a home can create great memories for you and your children, and just owning a home in itself is a great memory. For her, owning a home means looking back on her memories, looking back on the memories she once had, and giving memories to her children. With the poster that Jonna and I made, we chose Own Your Opportunities. Like already stated before, when you own a home, there are endless opportunities that come along with it. The most important things in life are your family, your future, and your education. And when it comes down to it, owning a home is the root of all these things. This is what more people need to realize. Owning a home equals your life, your family, your future. The poster that Eduardo and Jose made is to show how important it is for you to have a mission and a plan for your future and follow through with it. Also letting you know that owning a home is one of the most important missions there is, and for you to start planning for it while you are young. Owning a home is crucial for your future. And as Eduardo would say, you make a plan, make it happen, and life is made. Another way for us to get the message out is MySpace page. And next, Rashid will give you a little bit of information about that.
MySpace is a website for friends, chatting, dating, listening to music, and getting updated on hot events. Overall, just having fun on the computer. We chose to create a MySpace page because young people will hear and see our message on MySpace. MySpace is used by young people to connect with old friends and make new ones. Our Own Your Own campaign needs to spread the message of homeownership, and MySpace is the place to do this. Our website will provide links to resources, homeownership information, and informational message to youth. So check us out at www.myspace.com/ownyourown.
Thank you, Mayor Tom Potter and the City Council, MBHCD, and everyone who supported us with information for City Corps. We brought you our campaign to inspire young people to own their own homes. We also encourage you to support history education and increase support housing education and resources. We also challenge you to fund our Own Your Own campaign. Inspiring young people is critical to closing the homeownership gap. Our campaign will inspire, inform, and motivate young people to invest in their future. To show their commitment to the campaign, Open Meadows has offered to sponsor an ad on TriMet buses. If the city decides to move forward on this plan, we hope the city of Portland will rise to this challenge and help spread our message on your own. Thanks.
Are there any questions?
I was curious. Do any of you own your own home? Did I hear you say you own your own home?
Yeah.
We own our own home.
All three of you?
No.
But you do?
No.
Oh, you don't? I'm sorry. I thought you said you did. I was going to ask you about that. Thanks.
Oh, and in the folders that you guys were provided with, there is a concept brief that will show, give a lot more information about, like, the stuff that we did to get to where we are today and some information about what places that we visited for our background information on this.
Great. Any more questions? It's terrific presentation.
Can any of you offer what it is that you would need at this point to be able to own your own home?
Right now, I believe that we visited a lot of we visited a lot of organizations that were helping people to get to own, to help them start to own their homes. But there's just like a lot more we need to get the word out that people, because more people are not informed about owning a home than they. I think that they think that they're not able to because they don't know about the resources that they do have now. And I just think that we need to get more resources for them to depend on, and so they can help and get into their own home.
Good work. I really am. I'm like the professionalism of the posters too. Those are really very nice. Well done photographs. Messages. Good messaging too. Yes.
Thanks for being here, folks. That was excellent.
And Sarah, are you guys done?
We're done.
Next one's coming up. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think is somebody doing a presentation on the partnership with OSD? Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. My name is Steve Cohen, and I manage food policy and programs for the City's Office of Sustainable Development. Thank you for this opportunity to introduce a very talented group of Open Meadow High School students who I had the pleasure of meeting and working with this summer. On two prior occasions, this council has heard presentations on the Diggable City. That is a project that grew and was nurtured in Commissioner Saltzman's office, and it inventoried city-owned properties to assess them for their urban agricultural potential. And I'm proud to announce this morning that the third phase of the Diggable City report has been completed, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you and your staffs. And these students had the opportunity to read the report while it was being written, and they took the concepts to heart and many of the recommendations, and then they set out to put their minds and their arms and their legs and their backs into turning theory into practice. So I want to introduce Jesse and Elizabeth and Rachel and Isabel, and they're going to tell you what they did over their summer, which was not a vacation.
Come on. Good morning. My name is Lua Masumi, and I'm the team leader for the City Corps.
Hi, I'm Isabel Burry with Open Meadow City Corps. I've been going to the high school for 1 year now, and this summer I joined the City Corps summer program to gain some new experience. The City Corps program is a project-based learning experience that teams students with the city office to help solve a city problem. As part of this program, we are working with the Office of Sustainable Development to help turn unused land into sustainable productive gardens. Together with my classmates, Elizabeth, Rachel, and Jesse, we have been looking at this question: what is considered unused, unsustainable land, and how can we make it productive and sustainable? However, Diggable City has already looked at city-owned land, so as a group, we took it a step further and looked at privately owned land. We also looked at current food systems and alternative options.
Something we found interesting was this country's food quality and its surrounding issues of waste, genetically modified organisms, this country's dependence on fuel fossils, and etc. In the next few minutes, you will hear about us as a group and what it took to accomplish our goals, the information we found when we asked our own neighborhood, and what we recommend you do to help us with this problem. We took it upon ourselves to learn as much as we could about sustainability from the beginning. We knew it would result in the form of a garden. Our garden began with a discussion. We defined what we were looking for and then made a plan. We explored the area for available space and eliminated plots that we found unsuitable. We chose the nursing home Villa de Marcel because we thought the residents would enjoy it. We visited local nurseries to learn about plants and gardening tips. We asked local nurseries for donations to stretch our budget. We then spent days improving the soil, transplanting plants, and labeling our work. We documented our experiences on our blog, which includes a list of resources for other people interested in our project in sustainable gardening.
My name is Rachel Otto, and I'm also with Hope Meadow City Corps. I joined this program to enhance my public speaking skills and overcome my fear of it. When we first started, our group went to the Oregon Episcopal School, where we joined a program called CenterGo. In that program, we practiced team-building skills and how to confront our fears, which turned out to be useful when we had to start the real work. Not long after that, we had a couple of guest speakers to help us get started. First, we went downtown to the Office of Sustainable Development, where we met Steve Cohen. He talked to us about the other offices, such as Metro, Park and Recreation, the Water Bureau, and other government organizations, all focusing around sustainability. He also helped us with our problem statement. Next, we talked to Kara Van Gorder-Lasoff, a previous City Corps leader. She talked with us about her experience and also gave us some pointers on how to successfully complete our project. In order to get started on building our garden, we had to try and get donations. So we called around, and three different nurseries liked the idea of us building a sustainable, productive garden, so they donated. Those nurseries were Buffalo Garden, they gave us 20% discount off everything, Pistols gave us 11 trees, and Goose Hollow gave us a rose bush. All of these donations really helped us to build a more productive garden. At the end, we accomplished turning the unused land at Villa de Marcel into a sustainable, productive garden that all of the citizens in the community can enjoy. From this experience, I have learned that even though some food tastes good, doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy for you, the economy, or the environment. For example, a Rutgers University study shows that it takes 635,000 gallons of fuel annually to import tomatoes alone into New Jersey, generating 6,616 metric tons of carbon dioxide, which would require nearly 1.5 square miles of forest to absorb. Also, a reading from Local Food supports local farm families, and I quote, "Local farmers who sell direct to consumers cut out the middleman and get full retail price for their food, which means farm families can afford to stay on the farm doing the job that they love." So as you can see, buying local supports a healthy economy and cuts down on fossil fuels, which contribute to global climate change. An example of my experience with local food was the time that we went to Sobeys Island, where we picked a variety of berries. During that time, my group got the opportunity to see the benefits of going local firsthand, such as getting sick from eating too many berries. A way to keep more local food around is by building sustainable gardens throughout the community.
My name is Jesse Mitchell, and I'm going to talk with you about our survey and the resources we use to help us through our project. Our class came up with a survey to get a better understanding on how our community felt about gardening, what they were eating, and how it affected them in their everyday lifestyle. A lot of people really didn't care too much for what we were doing. They acted like they had no time to hear what we had to say. Some people showed interest and thought we were trying to do a good thing for our community. The questions we came up with for our survey had to do with what we were learning about sustainable gardens and how educated our community is on it. We picked out an area in the North Portland neighborhood around our school and set a perimeter of where we were going to walk around and survey people. As the graph shows, 47% of the people we surveyed had no clue where their food came from and how far it traveled to reach them. Another question we asked people was, On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you know about sustainable gardening? About half the people we asked didn't know what that was, so I had to explain myself over and over again. At least out of the 60 surveys filled out, 51 of those people thought that their community could benefit from a sustainable garden. And 28 of those people said that they would help out with weeding and watering if they had a community garden. I realized after talking to people about community gardens is that most people wouldn't participate in anything in the community